about this.
Our brains change.
Memory is an amazing.
What you think is in
our
there.
Our brains
is
aren't
really
finished. They're not fully cooked yet.
You go with your heart. And
we don't have any idea why
we're
doing
so smart
most of the things that we're doing.
But here's the deal. This gets back to this distinction between philosophically, there are a set of options available versus psychologically, did I make a choice?
Yeah. He's Art Markman, and he's Bob Duke.
And you're Rebecca McEnroy.
And this is Two Guys on Your Head.
I didn't get to say anything.
Today, the psychology of defining gender.
Now that we've separated biological and psychological elements of gender, and then added to that the asexual, homosexual, heterosexual, bisexual, and I probably missed something, you know, so now you've got a whole series of, philosophically speaking, options that one could, where there's a particular bin or set of bins that you could end up in. So I'm biologically a particular gender. I may identify with that gender. I may not. I may be attracted to people. You know, I mean, there's all, and somehow you navigate that matrix. Mm-hmm. That's one piece philosophically. And then psychologically, there's this question of, to what degree did I elect to be in that bin that I end up in. Mm-hmm. And the interesting thing from a societal standpoint about beliefs about gender and sexuality is that we have changed the way that we think about both the relationship between biological and psychological sex, as well as about our beliefs about sexual behavior, in the sense that From the standpoint of sexual behavior, where we believed it was a choice 50 years ago, you were electing a deviant behavior if you were going to engaging in homosexual activity. Now we're saying no, that's actually biologically there really wasn't a psychological choice there. This was determined by your biology. And then, from the standpoint of the relationship between biological sex and psychological sex, that wasn't even something separable. Philosophically, yeah. We didn't even think of that as, you know, being a woman in a biologically male body, right? And so part of what we did there was to create philosophically a set of options that didn't exist before, and that gave people opportunities to express their own identity in a different way. It opened up options that didn't exist and created choices, psychological choices that didn't exist before. That is, we could make the argument that there were that even before philosophically we recognized those distinctions, that there were people who felt deeply uncomfortable with who they were in the body that they were in. But by creating first philosophically a set of options, we created opportunities for people to elect to present themselves as a gender different from the biological gender that they were born with.
But what's interesting about this is that through time, as we've come to understand more and more about the way human beings operate, if you think about all the things that have now become more acceptable in contemporary society, much of that is a result of recognizing how many choices people don't have, right? I mean, right. It is interesting, as Art was talking about, the opportunities that presents, but we've moved away from an idea that your sexuality is merely a choice that someone makes, that different aspects of behavior, whether it has to do with being anxious or being assertive or outgoing or whatever, that these are things that people just choose to be one way or another. And what we've learned over a period of time is that there are many things that are more heavily influenced by our genes and our biological makeup than we tended to think, you know, a decade ago, a century ago, certainly many centuries ago, where it seemed like you could choose to do whatever you wanted to do. And that's not the case.
And what's fascinating is the degree to which this conversation has then come full circle, which is to say, so in the 80s, there was, you know, particularly at the rise of the AIDS crisis, there was a lot of anti-gay discussion and rhetoric. At that point, there was a lot of data that began to come out in the late 80s, early 90s, with the first twin studies that suggested that there was a heritable component to homosexuality. But now, the way that the conversation has come full circle is the question of, well, but should that matter, right? So what if you did choose, right? Mm-hmm. Would that make it right?
Yeah.
To discriminate.
Yeah.
And I think that you know, it's at the point where society becomes more accepting of a particular behavior, at that point you can take a step back and say, well, wait a second, actually the world didn't end, Pat Robertson's predictions aside. And so maybe therefore I got to reevaluate the way I was thinking about this all along. And the fact that a particular behavior might have made me uncomfortable doesn't necessarily mean that it was therefore a bad thing for someone else to have engaged in.
Next week, we'll talk about learning styles and myths with Dr. Art Markman and Dr. Bob Duke. You can subscribe to Two Guys on Your Head on iTunes to make sure you never miss an episode, and leave us a review while you're there. We'd love to know what you think of the show. Thanks to David Alvarez for engineering this episode and all of our Two Guys episodes. I'm Rebecca McEnroy, and I produce Two Guys on Your Head at KUT Radio in Austin, Texas.